Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Actually, not Scoot today. Todd Manessis in for Scoot. You know the numbers, 504-260-1870, or you can text us at 870-870. Scoot getting a little vacation. I believe he'll be back Tuesday. I don't know. I have to double check. Ian's going to, I don't know. He didn't tell me. He doesn't tell you his plans when he goes? He just told you he was leaving, didn't say when he was coming back. But he is coming back. That much we know. All right. Here's what we've got for you on today's show. Another cyclist is struck by a car and killed in New Orleans. Do you think New Orleans will ever be a bike-friendly city? And our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll for this hour, because we're going to get more into this hour, would you consider riding your bicycle in the city of New Orleans? Yeah. Because a lot of people, their attitudes need to change, cyclists and bikers, motorcyclists and bicyclists as well. Also, yesterday, a father was arrested for leaving his two-year-old in a car while he worked overnight. And we got a little bit more details on that story as more has developed and come out as to why the child was there and who had the child. And apparently he didn't have him permission from the mother to have the child, et cetera, et cetera. We'll get into all of that. But the question to me is, you know, he had to work a job. He left the kid in the car. Aside from the fact that he was keeping the kid away from the mother said he had taken him without permission on Sunday and she had been trying to find him. If you grew up in a household where both parents worked, did your parents ever leave you alone at a young age? Because we're seeing this more and more happening in society. And at what age did your parents feel comfortable leaving you alone? And if you're a parent, when did you leave your kids alone? Or when did you feel comfortable doing that? And then finally, we'll dabble into a little bit of Halloween. Scoot didn't get into this yesterday. We'll try to get into it today with Jill Gonzalez. New Orleans used to be ranked very high when it came to Halloween as one of the destinations to come for Halloween. The latest poll by Wallet Hub says we're down, way down, way down. We used to be like top 10, top 20. Now we're like 88 on their list. So which cities are the best for Halloween? We'll find out. And also, there is a, you may have seen this or you may not. Remember they were trying to change the date of Halloween or the time when Halloween would be? Instead of being on the 31st, to always make it the last Saturday of the month, I believe. Well, those people failed in their mission to do that. So now they've come up with a new holiday, which is just called Trick or Treat Day. And we'll try to clear all that up because in some communities, you're going to have kids coming around on Trick or Treat Day and also on Halloween. It just doesn't make sense to me, but we'll talk a little bit about that. And also we'll get into the Saints. You know, I couldn't stay away from the Saints. Saints continue to win both on the field and in the national media. Polls are showing everyone's behind the Saints. Nationally, they're ranked second in most of the power rankings. They're ranked as the highest NFC team. A lot is being said about Coach Payton. He should be the coach of the year this year for what he has done with Drew Brees going down. We could play for you all the week after Drew went down, after the Rams game, all the national media. And you've seen them online, you've seen them on Facebook and social media everywhere, declaring the death of the New Orleans Saints. Without Drew Brees, the Saints aren't going to win anything, period. They're not going to do good. They're not going to do well. They've gone undefeated. That's all they've done. And a lot of that is to the credit of Coach Sean Payton. But it's gut check time, Hoodats. Do you feel this year's squad has the same feel and look of that 2009 team? Does your gut tell you this Saints team will make a run for the title. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on here on WWL. But first, let's get into the bicycling thing. And we've talked about this before. Motorists tend to disregard the bicyclist. Bicyclists seem, in motorist eyes, to disregard the motorist. And neither one seems to be paying attention to what's going on. Well, what happened Monday morning, a cyclist was killed. He was hit by a car at St. Charles Avenue. And it was around 5:05 a.m. Man was in critical condition and paramedics arrived. He later died. In a statement, both sides say they're not to blame, obviously. He didn't see this. They didn't see them. Motorist says, you know, it came out of nowhere, et cetera, et cetera. So as you're driving around in New Orleans or you're riding your bike in New Orleans, what are you seeing? And I can tell you what most motorists think, that cyclists don't obey the laws and don't obey the rules of the road. And I hear this from people in the hall all the time talking about driving into work and people on bikes. What makes them upset is they're stopped at a red light and a cyclist many times will run through the red light and keep going. But at the same time, the cyclist wants to be identified as a vehicle and have the same rights, which they should on the road. But many times they don't follow those rules. And that upsets some motorists. It doesn't give you the right to hit them or knock them or whatever. And not all cyclists, I'll have to say. I tell you what I've seen here in New Orleans driving around downtown in the city, most cyclists seem to be obeying the rules of the road and doing the right thing, from what I have seen. Yes, I've seen a few do things they're not supposed to, drive between cars, ride up on the sidewalk to get around people, run through red lights. I've seen that happen. But you can't do that with your car. And so most motorists feel upset. But again, you're in a car, they're on a bike. It's a big difference. All right? But it's not as bad as I've seen when I was in New York City. In New York City, that was crazy. If you think the taxi drivers are nuts, you should see those riding on the bicycles, making deliveries and so forth. They're zooming in and out of traffic, in between lanes, up on the sidewalk, all around. They're nuts. They're all over the place. So it's not that bad here. But the question is, if you're a cyclist or you drive your car, how do you feel about it? And would you, if you have a bicycle, would you consider riding your bicycle in the city of New Orleans? 504-260-1870 is the number to call. Or you can text us at 870-870. That is our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Would you consider riding your bicycle in the city of New Orleans? You can vote online right now at WWL.com and cast your vote. Right now, 83% of you voting say no. You would not even consider riding your bicycle in the city of New Orleans. Now, is that for safety reasons? Is that for you don't trust riding on the streets with the traffic and the motorcyclist, and I mean the motorist? What's the reason? Let me know. 504-260-1870, or you can text me at 870-870. We'll take a break and get to a bunch of your calls. Alexander, Henry, and all of you who are holding, as Ian's trying to get your screen, hang on. I want your comments as well. Once again, bicycles and cars in the city of New Orleans. Do you think New Orleans will ever be a bike-friendly city? And would you consider riding your bike to work in the city of New Orleans? We'll be right back. Stod in for Scoot on WWL. And welcome back. You heard the numbers, 504-260-1870, or you can text us at 870-870. Todd Manessa's in for Scoot, and we're talking about the death of a cyclist on St. Charles Avenue near the Lower Garden District on Monday. His name was Robert Hogg Blair. He was a staple of the area. And he was hit. He was 54 years old. He was riding his bike like he did nearly every day along St. Charles Avenue. Monday morning around 5 a.m., driver hit him. Family members believe he was turning to head home when he was struck. Now, this stretch of street where he was hit, bike advocates had asked for a dedicated bike lane, protected bike lane, way back in 2017, but they were unsuccessful in getting it. So, you know, in some streets you have the dedicated bike lane. They were trying to get one there, and they were unsuccessful in getting it. Let's get to the phones. Got lots of calls to Alexander in New Orleans. Hey, Alexander, you're at City Hall right now. What are you guys talking about?
They're going to try to do some improvements on McCarney. Mm-hmm. McCarney, however you say it, you know, because, you know, my wonderful Southern vernacular messes up every word here in New Orleans. But then again, you know. We're New Orleans, which is what we do. We destroy every language there is. We have a few people opposed to bike lanes and improvements and stuff like that. And right now it's all about saving lives.
So you're at City Hall protesting about needing more bike lanes in the city?
No protest. Just actually at the meeting.
At the meeting? Okay.
Concerns. Yes, sir.
Well, demanding, I guess, at the meeting, asking for more bike lanes.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. That's all you can do.
What is the turnout, or what's the feel from the council on that?
It's looking good. It's looking really good.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right. Do you think we need more protected bike lanes in the city, obviously, especially in this area where Mr. Hogg was killed, Mr. Blair was killed? So.
Well, it's like I tell everybody, and everybody's going to relate to this comment. We live in a city where motorists can't drive, cyclists cannot bike, and pedestrians sure as hell cannot walk because they're stumbling around everywhere. And when you improve infrastructure, it makes everybody safe. It makes motorists safe, cyclists safe, and pedestrians safe. And as we all know, we live in a crumbling city with infrastructure falling apart greatly. Mm-hmm. And here we are, we have Mardi Gras, you know, we have Jazz Fest. They say we're making buku tax dollar money. Invest that tax dollar in infrastructure and keep everybody safe. That's all you got to do, and it would help out a lot. Majority of the cycling incidents where like, there's an accident or a fatality, majority of it is either one or two things. It's like a driver or a bicyclist is at fault, or it's an infrastructure problem. The majority, we have found out, is infrastructure. If infrastructure was improved, somebody's life could have been saved.
Okay. What do you say to the people that are texting that say, how about fixing drainage and streets first with that infrastructure instead of bike lanes?
Wouldn't that go hand in hand?
Well.
Wouldn't that be the same thing?
I would imagine so. When you repave it, you could paint a bike lane in there.
And pretty much. So, yeah. I mean, that goes hand in hand.
So, all right. So you're not asking for anything that wouldn't. It's really simple to do when you think about it, but some people are saying streets in New Orleans are too narrow to have that. What do you say to that?
There are some that cannot be a bike lane. You can put a share road, and you can put signs and say share the road, and try to explain to people. You got to think, we live in a city where a majority of this city, people depend on that bicycle. You know, they're waiters, they're busboys, et cetera. They don't have a car. All they have is a bike, and that's their way to work. Mm-hmm. And that's the majority of these people. This is a cycling town, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So what you're looking at is like a working class issue, and it needs to be addressed.
Okay. Alexander, I thank you for the call, man. Thanks for what you're doing out there, and keep fighting the good fight.
I'm trying, brother. I'm trying.
All right. Thank you so much. Let's go to Henry. Hey, Henry, thanks for calling WWL.
Hey, you know what? When I was a kid, not growing up, you know, my mama used to tell me, "Hey, watch out for the cars, boy." Mm-hmm. And that's all I did. I always watched out for the cars. Always rode on the sidewalk. Always cut through the grass. I had a good bike that could do all of that. These bikes that they make now, they can't do none of that. They ought to make the bikes that can hop on the curb and ride in the grass and ride on the cement, all the buckle cement.
Well, technically, Henry, if you're riding in the city downtown, you can't ride on the sidewalks. It's against law, and you can't ride up on the neutral ground.
Man, I can outrun any cop on any horse on a bike any day.
Well, we're not talking about outrunning the cops. We're just talking about the law when you're downtown in the CBD especially.
But are you going to ride in? I rode in the city before on a bike. I just, you know, you just gotta know how to ride a bike, you know. And I watch out. I watch out. All joking aside, I watch out for them. but it's kind of ridiculous. You know, people, they get into work too. You know, they get into work on a bike while people in the cars are getting to work too. You know, watch out for the cars. People on bikes get distracted just like people in cars. I tell you what, I'm on a bike. I'm prone to being the injured one if a car hits me, so I'm watching out for that car.
Okay.
I don't care what anybody says. I'm watching out for the car, and that's what they need to do. Don't think you privileged because you're on the bike and you ain't got to watch out for nothing. You got to watch out for the vehicle that will punish you, and that's what the attitude should be.
Well, at the same time, Henry, shouldn't the vehicles watch out for the bicycles?
Oh, we do. But we do watch out for them. But you're on a bike. You're going to take the beating if you get hit. So you need to be more aware than the people in the car.
Gotcha. Henry, thank you for the call. Thanks for listening. 504-260-1870 is the number to call, or you can text us at 870-870. Let me get to some of the texts that are coming in. Linda, Billy, David, Mike, Gina, Brian, hang on. I'm getting right to your calls, but I want to get some of the texts. Someone says here, let's see, you want to get back to the top 10 scariest cities, talking about that Halloween list. Tell whoever makes the poll to ride a bike through the city. I think it was more about Halloween than that. Someone else, lived my whole life in NOLA, and it's not a bike-friendly town. Before cell phones, and surely not now, after and no one knows how to drive, people are too busy on their phones in the cars. Another text says, not really all streets in New Orleans are narrow, sidewalks are narrow and rough. Talking about riding in New York. New York has one-way streets, wide streets, and bike lanes. It's much safer in New York. I'm just telling you what I saw in Manhattan. Bicyclists riding in the middle of four-lane traffic, zooming in and out of cars. So I don't think that was the bike lane for them. Let's see here. Another text that says, I'm terrified of the thought of daylight saving time ending. Many bicyclists in New Orleans appear out of nowhere and don't have reflectors or light clothing. Now, Mr. Blair apparently had a bike that was very lit up, and people are saying they've seen him ride on St. Charles all the time, and his bicycle was always lit up and very visible. Let's get back to the phones to Mick in Ocean Springs. Hey, Mick, thanks for calling WWL.
How are you?
I'm fine.
I think I have a fairly unique perspective.
Okay.
I am an avid biker, ride 5 or 6 days a week here in Ocean Springs and on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Mm-hmm.
But we visit New Orleans regularly. We love it. And I have been involved in a car bike accident, except I was the driver of the car in New Orleans.
Okay.
And it was horrifying. And, you know, my story is she came out of nowhere. And she ended up with some bruises and a couple hundred dollars worth of damage to the bike, which we, of course, took care of, and we're grateful that was all that happened. But I don't think I would ride my bike in New Orleans, and I certainly wouldn't ride my bike at night in New Orleans. It's dangerous here on the coast, and I bought what's called a cross-country mountain bike, you know, that's got shocks and bigger wheels, because of the unevenness of the roads and that whole sort of thing. But one of the things your earlier caller said, and you said something back to me about, you know, bikers need to be really aware of cars, and then you said, don't the cars need to be aware? My thought about that is, as a biker, I have more invested because my bike's not a match for a 3,500-pound car. And a couple of days a week, it feels like I find myself yelling at somebody because they see me coming and just pulled out right in front of me. And so I have to really be hyper aware because they don't see me. They don't, you know, they're just not looking for, same thing motorcyclists talk about, I think. So I feel like, you know, I'm the one most obligated because it's my life.
Okay.
And so I defer to cars. Sometimes I'm mad at them because I think, come on, you know, pay attention. But, you know, in a tangle with the car, I'm going to lose.
Exactly. And I think that's what he was getting at. But I was also trying to bring up that, you know, motorists should be pay attention too. And I think a lot of times when you're driving a car, a bicycle coming out of the way, coming across you or coming down is not the first thing you think of. You're looking for other cars. You're looking for pedestrians. But bicycle is not high on most people's mind, most motorists' minds, especially in this city.
Well, you know, and the comments about it's an old city with narrow streets, and that's part of the charm, and I would not ever want to change this that city. I love that city because it's so European and it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
You can't eliminate those things. And, you know, I don't know when the last time you were in Manhattan was, but they have all those city bikes. Have you seen those things?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they're, and we have friends there, and they ride their bikes in New York more aggressively than I would ever.
Yes.
Ever.
They were pretty aggressive. I was in Manhattan earlier this year, so.
Yeah, we were last year, and it's like we had female friends who, you know, meet us for dinner somewhere and go, oh, I'm getting back on the city bike. And these sweet Southern girls who had moved to New York had turned into demons on their bike. So, you know, they weren't afraid anymore.
No, I guess not. Mika, thank you for the call. Thank you for listening.
Great. Have a good day.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye. We'll take a break right here. 504-260-1870 is the number to call. Charles, Linda, Billy, Gina, Brian, we'll get to you. We got some more text as well about bicycles and cars in the city of New Orleans. It is our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo Opinion Poll. Would you consider riding your bicycle in the city of New Orleans? You can cast your vote right now on WWL.com. And Todd Manessa's in for Scoot. You heard the numbers, and you can also text us. Please don't text and drive. Right now on our poll, would you consider riding a bicycle in the city of New Orleans? 79% say yes. 21% say no. So it is completely flipped around. Some of the comments from the text line at 870-870. Let's see. Where's the one I just was going to read there? I was going to read from this point up. Let's see here. I am a mailman. I had a guy on a bike run into the back of my mail truck because he was looking down at his phone. Someone else says a bicycle is not a legal street vehicle. You can't maintain minimum posted speed, has no taillights and headlights and turn indicators, and does not qualify for a motor vehicle inspection. I'm getting that a lot. People are saying, I have to pay, you know, a brake tag and all this. What do a bicyclist have to pay into the system? Here's another one. I also believe if you want the right to ride on the road, then you need to pay into the system like cars do. We have brake tags. We have to obey laws. We get tickets for no seatbelt. They don't ever give tickets and for no helmets. Pay into the system. Then I would say your rights are equal to mine. Another text that says, I just followed a bicyclist deliberately meandering in the lane ahead of me because he knew that I was behind him. I totally agree that motorists must respect and be aware of bicyclists. However, they need to respect motorists as well. Let's go to Chris. Hey, Chris, thanks for calling WWL.
Hello, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I was going to say something about protected bike lanes, but after that list of text messages, I think it's a little better for me to clarify that two-thirds of roadwork funding in Orleans Parish
mm-hmm.
doesn't come from vehicle inspections or registration fees. It comes from sales tax and income taxes, which every person on a bike pays.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't see, like, I think roughly 5% of the parish commutes at least once a week to work. I think it's 4.5% technically. 3.5% do it daily. That would be, you know, 3% of the roadworks budget if you did, you know, your multiplication.
Mm-hmm.
The amount spent for bike and pedestrian infrastructure together is 0.1%. So they pay way more than they see back in infrastructure.
Okay.
So all of the people who are objecting on the grounds of people who ride or bike not having a, you know, stake in the road are ill-informed.
What do you say about those that or say, I have to have insurance for my car, but what about bicycles? I'm getting that a lot, too.
Well, if you look at insurance on a semi, mm-hmm. much more expensive than it is on an F-150, much more expensive than it is on a Prius, which is more expensive than a motorcycle, which is more expensive than a scooter. All of that correlates to potential liability. I can kill someone still with relative ease on a scooter. It is almost, though not entirely impossible for me to kill someone on a bike. You hear about it periodically, and it's one of the reasons shared use paths for commuters is a bad idea, because someone on a bike runs into a child or someone in their you know, late years.
Mm-hmm. So what were you going to tell us about the
matter of risk?
Right, on the unprotected bike lanes.
The unprotected bike lanes, while they were an improvement over absolutely nothing, are problematic. They, you know, I think it was, what, a decade ago, the state passed a 3-foot passing law. That passing law doesn't say that if there's a line in the road, you can suddenly come within 6 inches of a person on a bike. It says 3 feet. There's no ifs, no ands, no buts. And an unprotected line confuses that issue both for cyclists and motorists, creating both a false sense of security for people riding and a sense of entitlement to that lane usage for the driver. And I'm not even saying it's unjustified that the driver thinks that, because most people don't think, well, this is a separate lane, but I still need to pay attention to these other laws.
Mm-hmm.
But as a matter of design, it creates an unsafe and ultimately illegal behavior and encourages that to happen. Adding a buffer, like, are you familiar with Nashville between Claiborne and Fontainebleau?
Yes.
There's a 2-foot buffer between mm-hmm. that bike lane and the traffic lane. That little bit of space means that when a car is riding the line on that buffer, they're still a couple feet from anyone riding in it.
But most of the streets in the city are too narrow to do that everywhere, correct?
Well, it not all of them, but like people have pointed to Esplanade, well, they took away a lane by Cabrini, and the problem was that those lanes were narrower than the National Highway Traffic Safety Standards, and so keeping two lanes at those narrow widths would have disqualified it for funding to get resurfaced. So in some cases, our lanes are too narrow for two traffic lanes if we're trying to meet modern safety standards.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could take away one and have a single safe lane that is 13 feet wide, or a parking lane that's 10 feet wide, and that's kind of a wasted space if you could put a bike lane alongside of it.
You know, that's what I was thinking. When you look in Europe, you know, obviously they have way better dedicated bike lanes because more Europeans bike to work and bike recreationally than they do drive cars. But here in America, and especially in the city of New Orleans, we don't have that, but it seems to me that if you want to, you know, it would only, people are complaining about taking away a lane of traffic. If you got more people to ride a bike and they were in a protected lane as such as that, such as they are in Europe, where the cars have a bit of a buffer so they don't hit them, you may have more people riding bikes, which would then reduce the traffic.
It's not just going to reduce the traffic, but it will reduce the road wear. You know, I'm a fairly hefty guy. I'm 6'2". I'm 210 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I have an old Trek mountain bike that's 30 pounds. It means I ride at 240 pounds when I'm moving around, which is more than almost any reasonable cyclist. At my weight, mile for mile, I commute 1 mile. An SUV commutes 1 mile. I will have to commute 60,000 miles to do the same road wear that the SUV does in 1 mile. That means that it is wearing down the roads and creating potholes 60,000 times faster than I am on my bike. And I'll be fair, I don't ride my bike nearly as much as I drive.
Okay.
But
so you're contributing to both, Chris, as you just admitted that.
Yep. I drive a small car, which is somewhat ridiculous because I also do renovation work, and carrying a table saw strapped to the top of my Corolla looks ridiculous.
Well, Chris, do you ever think that New Orleans will make it to the point where it is a more bike-friendly city?
It's small steps, but the things as simple as taking the St. Charles and Carrollton bike lanes, where they are one lane, and having the curbs recut and cleaned, and then once that's done, swapping the parking and the bike lane would probably make things safer. The big objection is, well, what if someone doors me? It's like, some cars have a passenger. Every car has a driver, and right mm-hmm. now you're at risk of every car dooring you.
Yeah.
So,
and that's how it is set up in Europe, in a lot of places I've seen, is that the car parking is the bumper. The buffer, I should say.
I think it's a slow process, but it needs pressure needs to be kept on, and sometimes it's going to be a little jarring. Like one of the reason I'm at City Hall was not initially the bike death on Monday. I was coming down because of work being done on Marconi.
Okay.
And there's a lot of people who are concerned about the loss of a traffic lane on Marconi. And the problem there is if you look at St. Charles near Jefferson up by, you know, the JCC and Newman, that street sees 19,000 vehicles in a day. Marconi at Zachary Taylor sees 4,500. At Orleans, it's 6,000. And these numbers are from 08, so they're a little old. But if you reduce Marconi to one lane and assume that we have tripled the traffic on it in the last 3 years, you still have less traffic. And last time I checked, there were no apocalyptic delays outside of like the 30 minutes around school let out and rush hour on St. Charles.
Chris, thank you so much. You're with Bike Uneasy, correct?
I am.
All right. Chris, thank you so much for taking time with us here on WWL and trying to set a lot of that straight. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to another member of Bike Uneasy Advocacy Group. Clark is holding on for us. We'll be right back. It's WWL. And welcome back. Let's go quickly to Clark. Hey, Clark, thanks for calling WWL.
Hey, thanks for giving me the time. What I wanted to take the moment to tell you about is if there's one thing we've learned in the past year with the deaths on Esplanade Avenue, with the homicide just day before yesterday on St. Charles Avenue, is white paint is not saving any lives.
Right.
White paint is great for 95% of the motorists, and the 5% that are on their phones or are high or drunk, they are putting everyone at risk. And so it's not for them that we need to go and make these changes. And I'm down at City Council right now to talk about the changes that are coming on Marconi and how we are actually putting a protected bike lane in, a steel protected bike lane with parked cars, steel protecting the flesh, because steel on flesh does not work out well for anybody. We've got parked cars in the way of these dangerous and distracted drivers, and this is the right way ahead. And I congratulate the mayor on making this progress, and the Department of Transport or the Department of Public Works on making this progress on Marconi. And it's a first step. We came down here in April after the incidents and the fatalities on Esplanade, and we demanded that the mayor take action now. And unfortunately, now is 8 months later. But here we are, 8 months later, and we're finally getting that protected bike lane that we've requested. And it's not an end, but it is a beginning. And I think it's very promising.
All right, Clark, thank you so much for your advocacy and for what you guys have done to get that. And hopefully we can see a little more of them coming throughout the city. But right now, it's time to win a cool grand in the free cash giveaway contest. If you want to win it, now's your chance. The code word this hour is radio. Wow, imagine that, what you're listening to. Radio, R-A-D-I-O. Text that to 72881. That's 72881. You can listen for the next code word right before the top of the hour, every hour through 4 p.m. Don't miss your chance to win thousands of dollars 8 times a day. It's our Intercom National Cash Contest. Good luck from all of us here at WWL. Of course, we never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive. Again, the word is radio, R-A-D-I-O. Text it to 72881.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.